Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hello and welcome back. Hey Dad, how you doing?
Good, Taylor, how you doing?
You know, it's we're deep into the holiday season now. It's getting cold out, finally.
Yeah, it is. It's cold every day now, and the holidays creeping right up on us. Boy, it goes fast once you hit Thanksgiving. I mean, yeah. It's like Christmas is there before you know it.
I don't know where December went. I mean, to be real, I don't know where 2021 went. This whole year was just sort of a weird smudge.
Well, that's true. And today we happen to be recording on the shortest day of the year.
Oh, that's today, huh?
Yeah. Wow. So it's all uphill from here. The days start getting longer after today.
I'm fine with that because, man, I don't know. Like, I was running yesterday at, like, 2:30, mm-hmm. and the sun was sideways. Like, it was setting. I'm like, this is just, I don't, you know, usually I don't even make it out for my run until after the sun goes down. But even, like, I think it might have been more off-putting to be running in the early in the day and the sun is going down.
Yeah, well, that's like Mom and I, if we want to go out for a walk, I have to leave work early to get home in enough time for us to complete our walk before it's pitch dark. And, yeah. You know, we've tried it once going out in the dark, but see, we walk through the cemetery, and it's a little unnerving for her when we walk through the cemetery in the pitch black dark. There's no lights in the cemetery.
That's fair. I don't like to run after the sun goes down, even though, like, people will be in my park at, you know, like, it's only like 5 o'clock sometimes when I'm out trying to run, people mm-hmm. are out there, but it just feels wrong because that's a, you know, pretty common rule. Like, you don't go running in kind of vacant places
yeah.
after the sun goes down in New York City.
And I'm not sophisticated enough to have, like, the headlamp and the reflective clothes and all that kind of stuff. So I'm out there walking in black pants and a black sweatshirt. So I'm dead meat if I stay out in the dark on the roads.
That's not safe. I don't know. Well,
one of these damn hillbillies will run over me.
Well, happy longest, darkest night of the year. If any night needed a drink, I think this is it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, my favorite thing, too, about our selections during the holiday season is they're all drinks that really appeal to me. I mean, it seems like the creamy, sweet, all these dessert-type things, that's what we save for the holidays. And, man, that's right up my alley. And you found one again for this episode.
Yeah, well, that's so I thought, I mean, here, I guess this is very apropos for the shortest day, longest night of the year, is maybe one of the most fortified drinks that we have, and that is the hot buttered rum I thought we could talk about today.
Yeah, not only is it good to drink, but it'll give you something to do if on a dark night if you don't have anything else. It'll keep you occupied.
Yeah, it's a task. It's kind of a food. It's a drink. It's alcohol. It's lots of things. It's a lot going on. Hot buttered rum is interesting. I think it's one of those drinks that when you hear the words hot buttered rum, I don't think many people would not think that sounds good, right? Like, ooh, that hot buttered rum. That sounds delicious.
You'd want hot buttered rum and hot cross buns all at the same time. That would be great,
sure.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
That's a natural.
Buttery, bready, yeah.
Buttery, bready buns.
Sure. Love it. But, you know, when you look at the recipe for hot buttered rum, I think that's where it starts to be like, wait, you just melt butter in hot water and you add alcohol to it? Like, it doesn't sound good when you actually look at the steps of what's in it, like the very traditional recipe. You know, the first time I had it explained to me, I'm like, so you're just melting, or you're just drinking melted butter and water?
And hey.
That doesn't sound good.
That does to me.
Oh, okay.
Can we add some bacon? And that'll be good to go.
No, but we can add some sugar. So it
yeah, that's good, yeah, too. So
I mean, you know, these days the common recipe, just so if you aren't familiar with a hot buttered rum, what is it? In essence, it is hot water, rum, spices, usually cloves, cinnamon, nutmeg, some sugar, obviously rum, and then butter. Now, the more, I guess, streamlined way of doing this is to just combine those ingredients, melt some butter in your hot water. But I think the more successful way of doing this is sort of making a batter out of your butter and your spices and your sugar, and then you just combine your batter with hot water and rum. So it's a bit more of a pre-made, creamy, whipped mix that you add in. And that works out much better, which we're going to get into a little bit other ways you can make that even better. But, you know, the first time that I read just like hot water and butter, I did not think that sounded great.
Well, I would probably agree with you if I had not had that buttered bourbon that we did before.
Well, the fat washed one.
Yeah, the fat washed bourbon with butter in it. And I tell you what, man, that was the best bourbon I've had.
Well, and fat washing is not, it's not how hot buttered rum is done, because fat washing, you've gone through the process.
Right.
Anyone that doesn't know, you know, you add fat, you add your melted butter or your bacon fat, whatever, to your liquor, you let it infuse, and then you strain out the solids. With hot buttered rum, traditionally, your fat solids are in there. They're just melted. They're in suspension. So you're drinking, if you're putting a fourth of a tablespoon of butter in your hot buttered rum, you're drinking that. It's a very dense caloric drink, which is fine.
Yeah, and you may get a chunk of butter in the swallow that you get there.
Depending on how you make it, yes.
Or how hot you get your water.
Well, and you know what, we'll get it. Like, there's definitely some ways that people have conquered this sort of, because it's a little bit of a tricky mix to get right. And there are some ways that people have figured out how to do that. It is a little time consuming. We'll get into that. But just sort of chase the roots of it. There's no distinct starting place for hot buttered rum, because it kind of is a synthesis of several ideas that were already out there before it. So there's sort of two drinks that I want to talk about that we can kind of trace it back to. The first of which is buttered beer.
Yeah.
Now don't. This is not.
It's not a Harry Potter thing.
No.
Because I love butter beer, especially frozen butter beer that they have there. Man, that stuff's good.
I mean, this is definitely where Voldemort lifted the name, but this is not. It significantly predates this. This goes back to like Henry VIII. Like, we're talking like 1500s. There is a common preparation of ale where you would heat ale, not to a boil, because you wanted to obviously preserve the alcohol quality, but you would infuse it with spices and butter and egg yolks, sugar, spices, all this stuff, and you would combine it into this buttered beer. So that's what it would be. You know, you'd have to be very delicate with it so you don't get beer and scrambled eggs. But there was no base beer in this, but this was the origin of that term butter beer. Probably comes from buttered beer, which was popular in like there's a written recipe that we have that dates back to 1588. So this is the first time we see that butter and some type of booze combined.
Well, now I will say that does not sound appealing to me. I don't think I want to try that.
Well, I mean, but you like eggnog, and it's not that different. Yeah. I mean, it's like you would combine like the egg yolks, the butter, the sugar and spices, once again, into sort of a batter, and then you'd warm up your ale, and you'd add that batter in, so it would combine. But, I mean, I don't know. I think that actually sounds, I mean, if you like eggnog, I feel like you would like that.
Okay.
But in any case, the sort of second source of inspiration, or synthesis that leads to our hot buttered rum is the hot toddy. Now, if you're not familiar with a hot toddy traditionally is just hot water, usually whiskey, it can be other base spirits, some sort of sweetener, and some citrus usually. You know, this dates back, the hot toddy is sort of similar time period. It was around in India for a long time before the British encountered it. It's based off the Hindi word taddy, which means a drink of fermented sap. But functionally, what they would make was a drink that was hot. They had some fermented spirits, some booze, you know, spices, sugar. So this was these British explorers in India encountered many things that they brought back and claimed as their own. The hot toddy was one of them. So they encountered the tatty. They brought it back to the mainland, and it became very popular. You know, you had the addition of the spice trade impacting sort of the British palate, and you had spices available. You had this popular format for drinking hot booze, and at the time the sort of go-to spirit would have been scotch. So, you know, hot water, scotch, some spices was something that became very popular after the spice trade sort of, you know, took root.
Well, it sounds to me like conquering the world has its benefits to you for drinking, because you get to go around the world and find all these drinks that everybody else has originated, bring them back, and they become yours after that. So
yeah,
it's good to be a world conqueror.
Well, I don't think it's good ethically or morally.
Yeah, but drink wise, you're right in there, man. The Romans did it first, you know, then the British.
That's true. They really loved appropriating all culture, but definitely drinking culture from, you know, surrounding areas. I mean, that's because we talked before about how punch really came from a similar area, like the concept of the, you know, the combination of spirit, citrus, spice, like all that. They took a lot of ideas. And now we think, like, when you say hot toddy, a lot of people assume, oh, that's a British thing. Or, you know, you say a punch, mm-hmm. Oh, that's a British thing.
A hot toddy?
No, they weren't. A lot of them were taken from India. The British just then, you know.
They just ran India, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like the Genevers. There was the baseline for gin, and they took that from the Dutch.
Yeah.
Dutch courage.
Big fans of taking culture from one place and making it their own.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is kind of...
Bloody hell!
And now you're going to poorly appropriate British culture with
them. Yeah, with their accent.
Yes. I think that's fine. That's why you can do that. You can do a British accent. It's fine.
Hey, they come over here and speak American and take all our acting jobs. The least we can do is speak poor English.
Well, I mean, they're good at it, so... It's fine.
It's always so strange when you see these actors and they're on there, like Walking Dead has some, and, you know, some others, and you see them on there with these accents with, you know, speaking regular English American, and then they're interviewed somewhere and they say, oh yes, I was so surprised when they called me for this role. Like, do they talk like that?
Wait, did you just say regular English, you know, American?
Yeah. Yeah, that's regular
they did it
English.
First, you know that, right?
I speak American. I don't speak English. They didn't conquer me. We kicked their butts.
I do believe a lot of people in America speak American and not English, but that's not a good thing. Okay, no. I know two out of three Spider-Mans are not American. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the first time I heard House talk in an interview, I couldn't believe that he was English.
Yeah. You know? But then you hear him and it's like, oh, that makes sense. I feel like it makes sense that he's English.
Well, I don't think he could be as mean if he was English. You know, House was always very rough around the edges. But English people are much more prim and proper, and you wouldn't expect that out of them.
Oh,
They're much more friendly.
Been spoken down to by a British person? Trust me, they can be much more.
But they speak so well, you enjoy being spoken down to.
I guess that's fair.
Their curse words don't even sound as bad. Okay. Oh, damn.
Well, in any case, moving back to alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
All right. So, you know, there's this, it's worth mentioning just because I think it's kind of funny. There's a conflicting claim to the hot toddy's origin, which has no historical basis. The toddy was a word in Hindi before all of this. It was around in India beforehand. India has claim to it. Absolutely. But there is this Irish pharmacist named Robert Bentley Todd, who was well known for his toddy. And for a while, it was thought that he was the inventor of the hot toddy. He was in operation after the drink had both been encountered by British, you know, explorers, and also just in India before him. But there is, you'll run across that sometimes in the history of the hot toddy, that there's this Irish pharmacist who invented it. He might have made a really good one. Mm-hmm. I think that's believable, and he had a good name for making a good one, but probably not the guy that made it first.
He should have called it a toady, and it would have been a different drink.
His last name was Todd, so, you know.
Well, he... Toddy. Yeah, well, saying, you know, in Irish, saying it, they have a funny accent there. Toddy.
No, that's not... It's, no. No.
Anyway. I'm just trying to make it work.
All right. So we have these two things in existence, right? We have butter beer. We have hot toddies. These are all around, you know, the late 1500s, 1600s, 1700s. As colonists start to settle in America, in the cold New England climate, they brought with them a love for hot booze. They had an understanding of butter and booze. Scotch was no longer the main player. And this is really where we get the synthesis that results in the hot buttered rum. So around 1650, molasses begins being imported to the colonies. So you have the you know, the sugarcane trade from Jamaica. And they have all this molasses, and all these rum distilleries start to open in the colonies. So, you know, a lot of people think, like, the earliest American spirit is whiskey. And, I mean, nowadays, absolutely, the most American spirit is whiskey. But colonial America, it was not whiskey. It was rum. Rum was what made the world go around.
Yeah, and beer. They talked about beer. But rum was the most preferred and proliferated drink. Mm-hmm. And readily available. It was rum was everywhere. Rum was drank, consumed, not just by men at you know, bars. Rum was consumed by men, women, and children.
Yeah, well, that's really, especially, like, I mean, this is true for Europe at the time, but definitely, I think, even more so true for colonial America. Drinking was not for fun. It was something that you did. It was done for safety. We still didn't fully understand what was safe potable water and what wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was done for stamina. It was done for health reasons. So, yeah, like, people drank.
It was considered nutritious.
Yeah, like, beer was just what you drank. Like, it wasn't even considered alcohol. You know, maybe mm-hmm. you look at hard spirits and, like, well, that's, you know, that's a little, that's going to maybe get you a little goofy. But beer wasn't even considered that. It was just the safer thing to drink. So mm-hmm. definitely, like, at the time, before... As you know, America expanded further west and further south, and whiskey really became the main player. Rum was it, and that is really where you had the hot buttered rum emerge. So you had this combination of the harsh cold climate, you had a readily available rum, you had the idea of hot booze, you had the idea of buttered booze. This is where we see the hot buttered rum really taking hold and like getting into recipe books
and becoming a regular thing. I mean, it wasn't just like it was here and there. Everybody had it. And a lot of people had their own personal family recipes that they guarded. And so they were all, you know, basically the same, but this one maybe added this spice and this one added that spice and, you know, different things like that, different portions, but they had guarded family recipes.
Yeah, and you would make it like that batter or kind of slurry of your sugar, mm-hmm. your butter, your spices. You would make that ahead of time. Like, you could sometimes keep it up for a month, and you would just add it. You know, it's so fatty that you could let it like freeze and solidify, and you could melt it down and add it to your rum and your hot water whenever you feel like it. So that would just sit and sort of marry together better. Whereas mm-hmm. you know. We don't really do that nowadays, but that was the style at the time. And I mean, it found its way, which is a pretty important move for any early cocktail, for it to have ended up in Jerry Thomas, of course, one of the first bartenders to record his drinks, one of the most important, like, bartenders we have in American history. He included a couple versions of the hot toddy in some of his early recipe books, specifically in the first recipe book really ever published was his 1862 How to Mix Drinks. And he included the hot toddy. So that gave it existence beyond its origins, which mm-hmm. is really important. And then, you know, when you get to the 40s where you have the resurgence of cocktail culture via like the tiki craze, you have tiki bartenders looking at these books and seeing this drink, and it's a rum drink, so that's what, you know, tiki culture is all about. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, also, I think it's worth mentioning that tiki bartenders also famously loving fussy, multi-ingredient, time-consuming drinks. So, of course, the hot buttered rum makes sense for them to bring back. So that kind of, it had a bit of a revival in the 40s under the guise of like tiki bartending. In fact, one of the people we've talked about before, you remember Don the Beachcomber.
Oh, yeah. Who could forget Don?
Yep. Well, he, and I think his version of a hot buttered rum, I think I would like to try, because instead of hot water, he subbed in coffee and he called it coffee grog. Mm-hmm. So it would be, you know, butter and whipped together with, you know, the spices and the sugar, and then added to rum and coffee instead of hot water and rum.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
And it would make sense that you could do that, because that's one of those things you could batch up ahead of time. So you could have the stuff already made, put a scoop of it in there, and then add your rum and your hot water and stir it up or shake it up, and it's ready to go.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think, you know, that it's time consuming ahead of time, but it makes a lot more sense in this idea of like, I've definitely had the, just you put a pat of butter in the water and mix everything into it. And that is not, I don't think that's pleasurable. That's good for you. But, you know, I do think it's interesting that the coffee grog kind of predates this, you know, the craze for like the bulletproof coffee. Have you seen that?
No. Uh-uh.
It's like, it's coffee where you melt either like coconut oil or butter into it. And it's supposed to like, I don't know, it's a health thing. Like,
well, I have seen coffee that you put butter in. Butter It Up was a restaurant around here.
Yeah.
And they would put a big pat of butter in your coffee. And I would say, why are they doing that? Mom said, oh, it's supposed to make it good. And I said, I don't see that. I don't know.
It's supposed to be healthy too. Yeah, that's what bulletproof coffee is. Or I guess it has a couple different names, but I guess this was the OG bulletproof coffee had some rum and spice in it, which sounds a lot better. And that idea of that batter, I think, was expanded upon both in its revival and then I think more recently. Like, a lot of bartenders have found that, you're going to like this, Dad. Along with the butter, it's good to add some melted ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Because it kind of helps incorporate the fat and it adds some creaminess along with the spices. So that then you're adding this kind of creamy, milky ingredient to the hot water and rum. And that's really the ideal way to make it. And also some people have subbed out the hot water for hot cider. So then you have hot cider, you've got mm-hmm. ice cream, you've got spices, you've got the butter. That's just dessert at this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I added vanilla to my grasshopper vanilla ice cream. So that was good too. So I like any excuse to add ice cream to anything.
Well, and you don't have to use butter. Bartenders have used coconut oil. They've used vegan butter to make a not buttered rum.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned early on, in modern days, a lot of bartenders have substituted fat washing their rum instead of adding butter. So you use a fat washed. It's basically a bit more of a closer to a hot toddy because you fat wash your rum with butter. So you let it get that buttery flavor, but then you're removing the butter solids, and then you're using that with spices and sugar and hot water. So it's a bit closer to a hot toddy in that it's not mm-hmm. as rich, but you're getting that buttery flavor. I could see that. I could see that being nice.
Mm-hmm. But the it's so involved. If you were just try to make one at a time, nobody'd ever try. It's like this one recipe I'm looking at. It takes like 10 minutes to do this, and there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 ingredients to put in there, and that doesn't even count the water and the alcohol.
Well,
so I mean, that would take a while.
When you're dealing with spices, you want spices to infuse, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if you've ever had a hot toddy and somebody just throws a cinnamon stick in there, that looks nice, but you're not going to taste that cinnamon unless you let your drink sit there for... It's going to be cold by the time you taste it, you know?
Yeah, you know how you've talked before about bartenders don't like to make certain drinks or, you know, or sometimes maybe it's a snobby type thing. You shouldn't drink that. Although it's funny, they talked to a guy, I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Dan Batto. He's the owner of the Northeast Bartender School.
No.
And he said,
I saw this article in my research, though. Yeah, he was really angry about being asked to make.
Yeah, it sounded very sullen in his answer. He says, in my 30 years in business, I never made a hot buttered rum. It is not a popular bar drink. It would be a drink you would make at home, he said. His school does not even teach how to make this drink. It's not on our list. Wow. It is nothing you ask a bartender to make.
If I can have, be a little opinionated, I don't know if I really... Bartending schools are a scam. Sorry, they are. don't go to school to be a, don't pay money to be a bartender. Start as a bar back, work your way up. Bartending schools are there to take your money. But I do agree that it's not, I've never had one ordered from me. I've had them on menus because it's the same. Once you prepare the batter, it's not that hard. You're literally, it's no different than making, like, at that point, it's no different than making a hot toddy or like a white Russian. You've got a creamy pre-made batch that, granted, has to be made fresh every day. It that does have to be made fresh, but it will last through a whole service, and then you're just hitting it with hot water and rum. Like, it's not that hard, actually.
Right, yeah. It's one of those things, though, that you'd have to have the bar would advertise or something like that, post that as a specialty. Yeah. You wouldn't just have those things on hand and make one from scratch, you know? Say, you'd have it batched up to some point.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely... Like, no, I've never had... I've had a lot of wacky drinks that people just think they can order from me, and I'm like, do you know how many your ingredients are in that? You can't just order that from me. But I will say, I've never had somebody ask me for a hot buttered rum. Hot toddies, yes, but... I mean, hot buttered rum is a weird drink to get right. And even if you've had one, I just think that there's something different about drinking a drink that has a pat of butter in it. That's just like, it can be a real cold night. And I've never rolled in like from the streets and been like, nah, I need to drink liquid butter.
Like I say,
fries and a hot toddy.
I would agree with you, except for that. Buttered bourbon that we had, that fat wash bourbon with the butter. That was great. Well,
that's different. I mean, and I do think that's a good solution. You know, if you want to do a hot toddy with a fat washed whiskey or rum, I think that's a great way to kind of get that feeling of a hot buttered rum without that. If you don't, the ice cream is the, I think there's two directions to take it in. Either you do the melted ice cream and you lean into the creaminess, you want it to be a thick, creamy, kind of like a hot, kind of not coffee like, but you know, like creamy drink, or you do a fat wash spirit and you lean into the hot toddy angle. The middle ground is a weird place to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But a bit of fun trivia. And I feel like a lot of times when we tell you about a drink that has a specific day to celebrate it on, it is after the fact or it is wildly far away from when that day is. But this is a little bit timely. There is an official national hot buttered rum day, and that is January 17th.
Well, so that's good. Everybody's got about 3 weeks to mix up their concoction and have it ready. So you've got it batched up and ready to make them on the 17th.
Yeah. And I mean, if you want to let it, you know, cure in your fridge, don't, not at room temperature, but like if you want to let it marry together in your fridge, let your batter marry together in your fridge for a week or two, you got plenty of time, and that's just going to make it taste better.
Yeah.
You want those spices to fully incorporate into your sugar and butter mixture.
Yeah. I came across a recipe for that and it includes vanilla ice cream, and you add all those things and you mix them all up, and then put it in a sealed container and put it back in your freezer and let it freeze.
Yeah.
That's, and then you got it.
Cold buttered rum.
Well, not if you add boiling water to it. You just put a scoop like in there and then add the rum and the hot water and you're ready to go.
There you go. So you've got plenty of time to start a batch. If you think that sounds interesting, definitely good for a cold night. You know, not, it is time consuming ahead of time, but not really. You gotta properly mix together your butter, your sugar, your spices, and you gotta let them infuse. And then once that's done, you know, if you want to throw some ice cream in there, they're great. But then you just hit it with the hot water and rum. And you can do it with other base spirits too, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But I think rum is a good place to start for something like that. Yeah, that just seems like the right kind of drink. I don't drink a lot of rum, but I think for a drink like that, it would be perfect.
Absolutely. And I think you definitely want to lean towards a dark rum or a Jamaican rum, something that's going to be kind of funky and fruity or nice and spicy. You know, a white rum isn't going to ruin it, but I think this is the time to, if you're curious about, if you want to buy a nice bottle of like a darker rum and you don't know what to do with it, like a Blackstrap or something, that's a good drink to try it out with.
That one that I got when we were making Zombies, that's a really good one. I like that dark rum that I got for Myers? That one. No, it was something else. I don't remember now, but it's, you had said at the time it was a good one.
I thought it was Myers. Maybe it wasn't.
It was a Jamaican one. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, in its origin, the hot buttered rum was probably made with Jamaican rum. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all the rum came from Jamaica at the time, just about.
Well, definitely the colonies. All right. Well, there you go. So there's your little rundown on hot buttered rum. Lots of ways to do it. Some ways to do it wrong, but you know, not too many.
Well, they said that rum was so popular around, like, the American Revolution and everything, that when George Washington was running for a place in the legislature in 1758, that his agents supplied Frederick County voters with 160 gallons of rum, beer, wine, and ciders, and it equaled one quart per vote.
That's one way to win.
Yeah. Well, in West Virginia during voting time, they always would offer the little half pints because that's what they give out. If you can imagine that, little bottles that were half pints, they were only distributed around election time because all the politicians would buy them and hand them out to people to vote for them. Now, they don't do that anymore, but they used to back in the good old days.
I get, like, not offering booze to, like, sway votes, but I wish they could just still give it out as, like, a thank you for voting.
Well, they give it out as, please vote for me. I'll give you this. It's a quid pro quo.
It's definitely tampering with the vote. I think it should just be like, you voted? Great. Have a beer.
Have a rum drink.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
We did that at my bar. It wasn't, obviously, it's not about who you voted for, but if you came with your vote sticker, it was like, just encourage people to vote. Come in, you voted? Great. Have a beer.
Anymore, you have to be drunk to go vote at all.
That's not true. No, everybody should vote. Local elections are important.
All right.
Take part in the process. Just overthrow the government when we get our shit together, but also just vote.
Just hold your nose and pick one.
All right. Well, I hope you all are having a happy holiday season. If you're looking for a good holiday drink to have, check this out. Or, you know, we've done a couple holiday episodes now. If you want to look at our back catalog, we've talked about eggnog. We've talked about wassails. If you're curious about any of that, check that out. But, you know, also make a hot butter rum. Try it out. Who knows?
Yeah. Look up the recipes. There's several different variations, and you can look and see what seems to appeal to you the most.
And let us know. Let us know if you try that out. There's a Facebook group. You can hit that up.
That's right. Neat the Booze Cast Facebook group.
Booze the Neat
group. Cast. Booze the Neat Cast. I almost started with that. I was leading with that.
I heard that.
Booze the Neat Cast.
Booze the Neat Cast at bookface.com.
It's on the metaverse.
If you wanna email us about it, you can email us at neattheboozecast@gmail.com. We're running a little behind on videos right now. I don't know. We'll get around to some holiday videos eventually. But you know, if you want to check out some of our past videos where we make some drinks together, you can check us out on YouTube. We are Neat the Boozecast on YouTube, so look that up.
I'm gonna have all my grasshoppers drink before we make the video.
Yeah, we'll get caught up. It'll happen. And thank you to all of our patrons over on our Patreon. Appreciate you all being with us, sticking with us. Happy holidays to all of you. Thank you, Dad, for being here.
Well, thank you, Taylor, for having me. It's always a pleasure, and I learn something every time.
Today you learned you can put butter and ice cream in a cocktail, and that's dangerous knowledge for you.
Yes, my heart almost exploded just reading about it.
Yeah, just don't throw the egg yolks in there too.
That's a rocky drink then.
Yeah. No, that is the thing. Well, that's a whole other category of drinks. Actually, I've done this before. You can't cross the streams. You can't combine them all.
No,
that's just a cake. You just made a cake.
I don't want to drink cake. I want to eat cake. I don't want to drink it. They were a good group too. I like that.
Say, listen to cake.
Yeah. You want to eat some cake? Yeah. Drink it. Listen to it. Eat it.
Sure. There you go. All right. Well. Thank y'all again. I've been Taylor Stone.
I've been Tommy Schmurl.
This has been
I love thick, creamy drinks. Those are my favorite kind of thing. I'm going to start combining them. How about a grasshopper hot buttered rum?
Don't do that.
Put some creme de mint in there. Maybe that would be good. A minty, buttery rum.
I think hot mint is a good flavor.
I don't know.
When is mint ever good hot?
Well, it would open your sinuses on a winter's day.
Blech.